He makes the catch at the 30, the 20, the 10, 5. Rock and roll. Touchdown, Texans.
Hello, and welcome to the HoustonTexans.com podcast.
Thanks, Mark. Hi, Texans fans. Thanks for joining us. I'm Brooke Finley with Texans Today, the Coach Kubiak edition. In his press conference on Monday, Coach Gary Kubiak talked about how the defense has become more aggressive as a unit. With Dante back at right corner, players like Delwan Robinson and Tim Bowman have stepped up to make plays. And there was Amobi Okoye with a huge tackle in the backfield. Here's Kubiak in his press conference.
Well, I give you the same answer. I just think it's consistency. We've had the same people in place for a while, as I said. Have we been more aggressive? We have. But we've just been more consistent in our play, been more consistent with the people that have been on the field. And then we've had some new faces come in there and help us. Looks like we may lose one of those this week with the DB, but just been very consistent. He's got a groin issue. We'll know more about him tomorrow. He'll be day-to-day throughout this week, but there's a good chance this week could be a problem for him.
Do you see a swagger with your team?
Well, obviously, yeah, in this business, when, you find a way to win 2, 3, 4 in a row, you gain some confidence in what you're doing. I think that the month is kind of, it's looked the same in a lot of ways. All the games, we've played much better on the defensive side of the ball. We've protected the ball better, even though we did turn it over, more than our share a couple of weeks ago, but we have protected the ball better than we did earlier in the season. And we're making plays in crunch time. You know, that's the difference between winning and losing in this league. So we've just done a better job of that.
Gary, obviously to take the next step, you're in a tough division.
Yeah.
You got two teams there with double-digit wins. Yesterday's game, you had Indianapolis buried early in the season. You let them off the hook. They had to pick that down. Is that the key to taking the next step? Playing on an even level.
Yeah, naturally. I mean, you're not going to get out of this division without having one heck of a year. And this division's not going anywhere anytime soon. The football teams are young for the most part and have all been very consistent, the other three teams in our division. So, we're going to have to continue to grow and get better. We're going to have to play better within our division. And, those games that we were in, like you're talking about right now, we're going to find a way to win those games instead of not winning. So, it's very important. It's important to the confidence of our group that, we're able to get it done yesterday against this very good football team as they move forward. So, I think, it's very important. You can always get in as a wild card. And there's other ways to get into the playoffs in this league, but it's always got to start with your division.
I don't think coincidental. I mean, Dante hasn't had real flashy statistics,
yeah,
but his winning streak corresponds with him being.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, I think when he went out there, it gave us some confidence just as a group that, hey, he's back at his old spot. Jock has really grown up as a player and has played extremely well throughout the season and is playing his best football. Amobi makes a big play yesterday. And like I said, I just think if you look across the board, the group has settled down. But you got to give Dante a lot of credit since he's come back. They've obviously, played a lot more now.
Gary, talking about defense, for Bowman and Bill Warren, what they brought, where they came from.
Mark, you're right. That's fun as a coach. In this league, you get to coach a lot of players, and of course you coach your first rounders, your second rounders, your big free agents, those type of guys. But there's something about these players that walk in your locker room. They're free agents trying to make their way in this business. They weren't drafted, and you watch them find a way on a practice squad, then find a way to suit up for a game, and then all of a sudden they're starting and they're on the field. And when these guys are successful, it's really it's a joy for us as coaches, and it's really a joy for the players in the room, too. I mean, I remember when I first suited Timmy up, put him on the active roster, the room gave him a big hand in the room. I can remember when we did the same thing with Delwan. The players root for guys like that because they come up the hard way. And when they're successful, I think it means a lot to everybody.
Delwan says he doesn't want to change his number. He wants to have a number 60 to remind him of where he is. He doesn't want the 90s.
Really? Delwan doesn't talk much, so evidently you got a lot more out of him than we do. But he's a young kid with a lot of ability. I remember Jackie Sherrill telling me when he came out, so you give this guy a chance, he's going to make it in your league. And so that's where I kind of first found out about him. But he's worked extremely hard for Jethro and Frank, and he's had his spots where he's done some good things. But I think yesterday was obviously big bright spot in his young career so far to step up and play the way he did yesterday. He's our defensive player of the game. He played extremely well.
Gary, which was more important to stopping their running game yesterday, the play of your D-line or the play of your linebackers?
Well, I think it was everybody. You know, if you look at what they had, 100 yards rushing yesterday, and I think 30-something of that came in the two out of the first three plays. So the way we settled down after that was very good. But it happened as a group. Our secondary tackled well, too. I can think of some big tackles that Dante made, a drive-stopping tackle, also Eugene. So, you know, it's involved everybody. And we've talked about that over the course of the last month. We've all been committed to tackling and doing our job, and we've tackled much better.
The game was a game for men, and one of your smaller guys, Slayton, stepped up and had two of his best runs there at the end of the ball game. Talk about him at the end of the game and then having the presence of mind to stay in bounds and keep the clock going and finish the game.
No, you're right. You know, and he's done that other times this season. I think we've talked about this other Mondays about how he looks like he actually gets stronger as the game goes for a small player. But you're right. Good teams, you know, find a way at the end of the game when you're up by a field goal, you're up, you know, whatever, and you're trying to close the game out. And everybody knows you want to run it to close the game out. You find a way to do it. And that run he made on 1st and 10 when we first got the ball back was just tremendous effort. And then being able to stay in bounds on the last one, you know, it tells you how smart he is. You go back to Green Bay, he catches the ball right before the half. He goes out of bounds with 1 second left, so he tried field goal. So those are some things you can't teach. You can talk about them, but players have to have a presence about him. And he's a very mature young man.
After watching Andre Johnson have a couple of light games early in the season, you kind of feel like it's on the coaching staff and maybe on Matt to go through his progressions, and maybe there's just no way to stop Andre Johnson. If you guys are doing your job, you know he's going to do his.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's obviously Andre's going to always do his job. I mean, he's there's nobody who works harder. You know, our job is to move him around and try to find ways to get him free when people are paying a great deal of attention to him defensively, trying to take him away. We actually see some coverages that I've never seen before sometimes. I mean, we'll see the way they're trying to rob him or make sure that he doesn't touch the football. To his credit, he plays through that. To his credit, moving around helps him play through that. And then to the rest of the guys, whenever people have done a good job on him, we've had other guys step up, like Kevin against Green Bay. So he's a special player, and you know, people are going to do everything they can to take him away, but you're right, and it's our job to find a way to make sure he stays involved and find a way to get him a ball.
Earlier in the season, there have been games where the run wasn't successful early and you'd kind of gone away from it.
Yeah.
Yesterday, you didn't. You just kept running the football. Is that something you consciously were aware of to not get away from the ground game?
Well, I think the thing that's helped that has been the fact that we played much better defense last month. You know, when you're say you're not running the ball well and all of a sudden you're looking up and the next time you touch it you're down by 7 or you're down by 10 or you're down by 40. If that's the case, then you probably, it's hard to stay patient. But when you feel good about your defense, which I felt very good about them yesterday and have in the past month, you knew they were going to keep us in the football game. You knew it was going to be that type of game, so you tried to stay patient. And the one thing to get you beat against a team like Tennessee is if you drop back too much and put your quarterback in a bad spot, they're going to knock a ball out or something bad's going to happen. So I think the play of the defense helped us be patient.
Do you think Matt found a little arm strength during the time he was off the last couple of weeks? He seemed to have a lot more zip on some of his throws.
Well, I'm sure he's fresh. You know, I know that's helped. And he got a little wore out yesterday. We had some long drives within the course of the game, and, of course, he was taking some shots, but that was a big game for him. He needed to play through that. He knew he was going to take his pounding, so to speak. And but he manned up, as everybody on the football team did, and you know, he made some great throws along the way.
On the challenge that you guys threw a red flag on, what information were you getting? What exactly were you trying to get changed there?
I got good information. I just didn't listen good enough. You know, they felt like it had hit Petey in the head. They did. They told me that. But yet Petey came off the field and we asked him. Joe and I were standing there and he said, you know, I don't know. I wasn't. So I should have listened better. It was a bad decision.
Gary, I know you get advice from a lot of different places. This is from Shane Battier with the Rockets. Okay, who came today. He says, throw the ball to Andre Johnson every single play. If you throw the ball to Andre 20 times a game, your chances of winning go up exponentially. He said, I don't want to tell Kyle Shanahan and Gary Kubiak how to do their jobs, but if you need an assistant to the assistant to the GM, I'm available. Throw the ball to Andre every time, even on fourth down. Don't punt.
I tell you what, he's a sharp guy. I met him this summer over at the golf course across the street one day, and you know, I tell you what, we will listen to him. I don't know if it'll be every play, but I believe in him. I love watching him play.
Coach, this is typically in this organization's history a game that the Texans would have lost. Do you feel like the culture has changed around here?
Well, it has to change over a long period of time, not one football game. You know, people have asked me, you know, did you turn the corner? Did you do this? You know, I don't know when that day will come where we say we've turned the corner. We all know what our goal is, and, you know, we're going to fall short of that this year. We're not going to be a playoff team. But there's no doubt in my mind we're a better football team right now. There's two very important football games to play. And yesterday was a big step in the right direction. We played a very physical, very good football team that we knew we would have to go toe-to-toe with them for four quarters if we were going to win. And we found a way to do that as a football team, so it was a big step.
I know you won't find out until tomorrow, but regarding the All-Pros, and nobody's here playing for individual honors, but would you like to see them? What do you think the feelings like for the coaches and players in the room if they're alive?
Oh, that's very important. You know, my point was I'd like to be the first one to tell them. Sometimes we're not. It's just the way it works nowadays. But we've obviously got some players very deserving of that opportunity. And you know, as a coach, you want to see them get that opportunity or get that recognition. But at the same time, you have to be honest with them and know that sometimes it doesn't happen right away. When you've had a good year, they make you come back and do it again the next year. Mario's a good example of. Last year had a Pro Bowl year but didn't make it. So, you know, we'll see what happens from that standpoint. But, you know, it's one of those things you'd like to be the first one to talk to them, but we'll root for all of them either way.
A couple things. When you when Mario didn't make the Pro Bowl last year, did you have a conversation with him? I'm sure he was disappointed, even upset. Did you just say, hey, it's just the way the system works sometimes?
Yeah, you know, I told him, I said, you know, these guys out there, that these players are going to make you do it again. You know, that's the way this league works. It kind of did that to D'Amico. D'Amico had a tremendous rookie year, didn't make it, made him do it again. He came back and made it. So this league's about respect, and players, you know, make you earn that respect the hard way. And the good thing about Mario, you know, never flinched. He's come back this year. He's been even better, and I would think his chances should be pretty darn good.
And regarding Matt, luck would have it, you encountered two of the three best defenses in the league in your first two games. And Matt, you know, didn't look good. He didn't look confident. Was there a point after those first two games, as much as he was struggling, where you were really concerned about him?
You talking about from the start of the season?
Yeah, those first two games,
it's easy after 14 weeks right now to look back and see what type of two teams he played those first few games. You know, with Pittsburgh, the way they played defense this year, and, of course, Tennessee, the way they played. You know, it was concerning for all of us, you know, because we just – obviously we didn't play good in those games. And, you know, we kind of go as he goes. But the one thing he's done is he's continued to battle. And, you know, this league's very difficult on quarterbacks, and being able to be consistent is the key. And, you know, he's had two good weeks, and want to see him finish the same way.
Did you talk to him after the second game in any way different than you would have just after a normal game, and trying to get a feel of where he was at, if he was, what was going on with him?
That's so long ago. I don't know that I talked to him any different. I mean, I expect so much of him, which y'all well know. And, you know, I want him to be a great player, not a good player. And so I'm very difficult on him from that standpoint, but he's hard on himself, too. So
realize,
I don't know if I'm answering your question, Dale.
He hadn't had the hurricane. Your first three games were against the number one defense, number two defense, number three defense.
Yeah, at the time you didn't know that. But, you know, I tell you what, coming out of the preseason, we knew those would be three very good defensive football teams. So.
All you Texans, get up and scream!